My name is William Griggs, founder of the Startup Slingshot, a resource that delivers guidance from experienced entrepreneurs and business experts on how to dream, launch, and grow your business. If you're like me, you're probably wondering, what the heck's a business model? Why does it matter? And how do I create one? Well, we'll tackle these questions and more with today's guest, Alexander Osterwalder. Alexander is a successful author of Business Model Generation, speaker, and advisor with a focus on, you guessed it, business model innovation. On this episode, Alexander is going to share with us the effect that crafting and testing your business model can have on your organization and outline the steps you need to take to get started. Enjoy. All right, Alexander, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be on the Conan O'Brien show.
Oh, man, you're on the wrong show. You're all confused. You've been traveling the world.
Probably that's it.
I'll give you a break. But this is the Startup Slingshot, and we're going to talk about all the stuff that you know around business model generation. And so today I want you to kind of help our viewers begin to successfully design a business model for their startup. Obviously, we don't have time to walk through the whole book or the whole process. There's a lot of great stuff in there. But before we do that, can you kind of give us a description or a definition of what a business model is?
Well, you know, I would call a business model the way or the story of how you create, deliver, and capture value. But, you know, less than the definition, what counts more is having a more general language, a descriptive language, so you can make clear what is your business model, what is the business model that you want to create. Definition is not going to help you with that. So we came up with, you know, a more visual framework that allows you to sketch out a business model.
Gotcha. And so it creates this kind of common understanding, this common language
exactly.
that you can compare and contrast a bunch of different types of businesses.
And I think what's important is, you know, the word business model is used to be a pretty big buzzword. We use it all the time, but we never really defined what it is. Everybody had a different mental model, and we weren't talking about the same thing. So, you know, if you have a meeting and nobody's talking about the same thing, some about marketing, about channels, some about pricing, revenue streams, some about strategy, some maybe about the vision, some others about technology. If we're not talking about the same thing, you can imagine how a meeting looks like. You know, there's a lot of blah, 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 little understanding, and at the end, you don't have any results. And this is the reality often. Now, if you use visual methods, and the business model canvas from our book is one method, but there are others for other themes, right? I think if you use that, you get to better discussions. And now, in business models, we're having much better discussions because we're using more visual methods.
Gotcha. So it's this common way of looking at how to capture and deliver value, and the goal of putting it down, or the reason to put it down, is that you can actually have better meetings, have better strategy sections, get everybody on the same page to moving forward in your startup.
Yep.
Gotcha. What, you know, I obviously know your background, but to the viewers out there, what makes you able to talk about this topic?
I wrote a PhD, a doctoral dissertation on the topic of business models. I put it out there on the web, and people started downloading it. Companies started downloading it, and they started to read it. You know, I never knew that a PhD dissertation is written to be read. I thought it's just the committee reading it. But in fact, it turns out that a lot of people found this interesting. So we knew we were onto something. And when I say we, it's with my former PhD supervisor, Yves Pigneur, who became my co-author for the Business Model Generation book. So we put together a more accessible book, one that was really made not for a dissertation, but for a practical audience who wants to improve their business model or create new business models. That's for startups and senior executives alike. So we worked on that, and I've been doing this now for 11 years. So, you know, there is some credibility, but I think the biggest reward is that people are actually using this stuff. So we have hundreds of thousands of copies of the book now spreading around the world, but more interesting is that people are using the business model canvas, which is the heart of our book. So that's fun to see. And that, in combination with other methods, like Steve Blank's customer development, is actually changing the way we are starting new businesses. And together with Eric Ries's book and Lean Startup, on top of that, you're starting to have a real stack of methodologies that help us create better startups, bigger success chance, and definitely helps kill an instant mortality of startups.
Yeah, we had Steve Blank on recently and talked about his new book and the processes and the things he's learned since the four steps of the epiphany. Can you Can you kind of help our viewers that are watching this understand how your methodology relates to Lean Startup and to the customer development?
So our methodology is about designing business models, having a way to come up with good business models, some, you know, business models that are competitive in the market, that create higher switching costs, that create recurring revenues, and so on. That's what we call business model design, coming up with great business models. Now, even the best business model on paper might not succeed because the market might not like it. So what you want to have is a method to test the business models you're designing. And that's where customer development comes in. It's a methodology to test your business model. So what you will do is you'll design a business model, you'll get out of the building, to use Steve's words, and you'll start testing the assumptions. And given what you've learned by talking to people, by doing pricing tests or channel tests and so on, you might have to completely redesign or pivot, to use a Silicon Valley word, to pivot your business model. So you'll go to version two. And you'll do that in an iterative way until you can really prove, hey, this is going to work. So it's the opposite, if you want, of writing a business plan, which is a very static document where you put a lot of detail. No, I think we need to burn business plans, at least at the very beginning, until we've proven that the business model that we want to build works. What you really want to do is you want to start with a rough idea, with a rough business model. You want to go test it. You want to change it. Test it again, change it again, test it again, change it again, until you have something that you think, hey, I nailed it. And once you have that, then you can write a business plan. You can put on the details for the execution. But that's a different way of creating startups. I think where Lean Startup comes in, the, you know, if you take Eric Ries's contribution, is how do you test products in a very agile way? So putting these things together, you got an entire methodology of how do you design startups, and I say startups, you know, starting out from scratch, or corporate startups, corporate entrepreneurship in big companies. How do you create these businesses? And I think we've cracked the code, to use Steve's words. And I think this is really a really exciting time. There's a better way to create startups today.
It's really exciting. So you know, the viewer at home would say, I got this business idea. I'm going to document my assumptions on your canvas that you've created, go through your website, check out your book, and then go over to kind of Steve's methodology, like you said, to actually test it out. And then if they hit a home run on the first attempt, highly unlikely, then they keep going and they write a business plan and they're successful. Otherwise, they come back to the business model, say, ooh, that channel, know what, this set of customers could care less about what we're doing, or we're pricing it too high, or we can't get them in the way we thought we could get them. That makes a lot of sense.
I think there's another point I would add, you know, that often I work a lot with large companies. I work with startups every now and then. I think, you know, for people who are creating new businesses, they're very passionate about what they're doing. But there's one mistake that we often make, is that we fall in love with our first idea. So rather than saying, okay, you have a product idea, you have a technology idea, rather than sketching out several different possible business models, one where you give away the product for free, one where you sell it for $1 million, right? Licensing, for example, franchising, one where you work with your biggest competitors. Rather than sketching those out in business model prototypes, we usually go for one, refine it until we think it's perfect, right? That's a bad way of doing work, because the more you refine in the early stage, the more likely it is you wasted your time, because you don't know if it's going to work. So you want to work with prototypes, just like architects do. An architect would never start, you know, in his first sketch with something that he thinks he's going to execute, that he's going to build. So you want to work more like architects, more like designers, because they know how to use this iterative approach. So that's pretty fun. And I think that's something we need to learn in business. We always want to go for the perfect solution, but there is no perfect solution. There are very many alternatives, and there are a lot of variables, you know, that are going to show us if it's going to work or not. So we need to work more with prototypes at the early stage and then test our prototypes. That's the way forward. And, you know, we're starting to learn how to teach that, how to train that. And there's a big change going on. That's something we need to learn in entrepreneurship.
Definitely, definitely something that even I struggle with, is that initial idea. This is what gets me excited. I have to talk with people, and they've just read Steve Jobs' book. And so then that gives them the whole blinder effect of not caring what the customer thinks. But you're saying this is a totally different approach. You should throw that thought process away because you're not Steve Jobs, like Steve Blank said.
Yeah, you're not Steve Jobs, but you know what? I'd qualify that a little bit. I think even Steve Jobs listened to customers very carefully. This is not just a guy who had a vision and went ahead. No, I think he watched. This was a person who was able to understand people's society needs and make great products because of that. I don't think Steve Jobs was not a good listener. I think he was a good designer. He was a big fan of design. And what is design about? It's about understanding context, people, constraints, and create within those constraints. I think Steve Jobs was pretty good at that.
Gotcha. Now that we know what a business model is, now that we know you're probably the best and the most qualified person to teach our audience about business models with all your experience, you'll laugh because you're humble, but it's true. And now that we kind of know what we're doing, how do we start? Where do we start?
The way forward is you assemble a couple of people, you print out a big business model canvas on the largest printer you can find, plot it out, put it on a wall, and start sketching out different alternatives, different possibilities. You know, take 20 minutes to sketch out your first business model. Take another 20 minutes to sketch out another one. Discuss what could make sense, and then start testing it. Get out of the building. Set up a website to test some assumptions, even if you're trying to sell a physical product. It's just all about getting started. Getting started and trying out things. The quicker you try, the quicker you actually fail, fail cheaply, well, the more likely you are to learn. And when you learn, you will improve and you will understand what could work. So it's really just all about starting to make. Get out there and make things. When you make things, you test them. Rather than trying to work, hours, days, weeks on refining a concept. It's really about starting, getting things done, learning, and accepting that you're going to fail a lot along the way. So even when we published our book, Business Model Generation, we went for a different business model. We went for a different type of book, a very visual one. We tried out a lot of things. We failed all the time. Sometimes it was painful, sometimes it was costly, but we tried it out. And we learned, and we pivoted, we changed. And based on that, we could create a bestseller. But there was a lot of pain along the way. Now we can see the glory side and the shining side. Hey, this is a great success. This was an entrepreneurial venture, and there was a lot of mistakes, a lot of failure along the way. But that helped us learn. That helped us improve. That helped us make a better book and a better product. So get out there and start working.
Yeah, just start doing it. Start printing.
Start making.
Like you said, print it out on the biggest sheet of paper you can. Do the first one. Say, ooh, this is my initial idea. Putting it down on paper, but ooh, I could do this way or this way, like you're saying, okay. And then go out and start testing it. What about?
I'll give you an example. An interesting one. We, decided to make an iPad app to sketch out business models with the numbers. But hey, that would be a cool thing, and with the touch interface, that would be fun to do. But we didn't really know what the pricing would be, so we decided to set up a landing page before we even wrote one line of code. And on that landing page, we said, our product is 1, 2, and 3. Sign up here if you're interested. So if 10,000 people come to that website and 20 sign up, I got a problem. Either there's no interest, or I need a business model that can make money off of 20 people out of 10,000. That might be a problem. So once you have that, you start learning. What we then did is we asked people, hey, would you pay $100 for this iPad app? They'd say, $100? That's crazy. And indeed, 50 people said, hey, you're criminals. How can you ask for $100? Well, 20% said, I wouldn't pay $100, but I'd pay 50, 30, 20, 10. So we learned. And then 20% said, of course I'd pay $100 if you give me this, if you make this. So that was before we wrote a line of code. Now, this is not an entire business that we were building. It was an app. But we tried out things. We tested things before, in the simplest way possible, before we really started spending heavily. So I'd recommend you do a canvas, you look at some of the assumptions, you get started with testing. Sometimes, while you're making a canvas, you want to pick up a phone, call a potential customer. You learn something already. Would you buy this in a supermarket? Yes, no, and so on. And then you learn. So it's really all about making, learning.
Yeah, it seems like another thing that you have in the book are these examples of other businesses. So it seems like what a lot of the viewers could say, I don't really know where to get started. Key activities, channels, what does that mean? But if they start looking at complementary examples of businesses, they can be like, ooh, or even businesses that are familiar with. I've seen the iTunes example that you have. Any other kind of feedback on that
I
route?
think what's interesting is, if you, so you can go look on my blog. I just wrote a blog post about companies that compete on product alone, companies that compete on business models, and companies that are invincible, that disrupt their business model while they're still successful. I think what we need to do today is, first of all, understand that great products alone is not enough. You need a great product and a good business model. So to learn about business models, what makes a powerful business model, you want to learn from the best out there. You want to learn, hey, we're on Skype here. You want to learn, why has Skype disrupted the telecom industry? Is it just the product or is there something in the business model? Well, it turns out that the business model of Skype is so fundamentally different from the business model of a telecom operator that they can offer calling for free to 90 to 95% of their users. You want to understand all those business models out there, even from industries far away from yours, because you can learn from that. And what you learn from them, you can apply that to your own business model. And when you start doing that, that's when you get beyond product innovation alone, beyond product differentiation alone, and you will build a substantial competitive advantage. If you're in a market where everybody competes on product, fine, you'll survive. But if you're in a market where you compete on product, but somebody else has a better business model, you're dead, right? So it's like competing with training wheels against somebody who's riding a Ducati Monster, right? I mean, you don't want to do that. And I think more and more people are understanding the value of business models, and they're starting to understand how to build better business models. So it's time to do that and not just focus on your product. So this is happening now. It's fun. But if we don't learn about it as business people, we're going to stay behind.
What about startups that start getting a little bit bigger? Are there any parallels between how you help bigger companies and what these startups that start getting a little bigger, now they have some competition coming up underneath them, should do?
It's the whole process is the same. It's about entrepreneurship, corporate entrepreneurship. How do you build a business? It's the same. In a large company, it's more complicated because you have existing organizational structures and you have a certain competition with the existing business that executes a known business model, right? But otherwise, it's very similar. Now, what you need to accept is when you're successful and you grow, say you build a business, at one point, well, you might have to create new business models while you're still successful. And that's what large companies are doing. And I love the example of Nespresso, the espresso machine by Nestlé. They created their own business model, and it's very successful. But they added on new machines with new business models, Dolce Gusto focusing on the cappuccino market, new machine called Baby Ness, giving you a machine where you can prepare a bottle for your baby in 30 seconds. Totally, similar machine, totally different market, but they also use a different business model for that. So they're starting to build a portfolio of business models. I think the biggest, I like quoting Garry Kasparov there. Success is the enemy of future success. Success makes us lazy. We think, hey, our business model is great, it's working, we're growing. Well, you already want to think of your next business models. And while you're executing the one that's successful, you need to start building the ones for tomorrow. That's what Apple was so good at. I mean, what's amazing is, they launched new products with new business models while they were successful. Nobody forced them to launch the iPhone. There was no competitive threat to do that. Nobody forced them to launch the iPad and the business model around that. They did it. So these companies are practically invincible because they create while they're still successful. An example of a company that still is successful today, but it's not so sure what they're going to do in the future, is Dell. They have their same business model, or very similar. Now, for a while, they were extremely successful, and at a point, it was a very innovative business model. The question is, where is that business model going to be in 1 or 2 years? Can they still compete? Well, they never took the time to create new business models, rejuvenate while they're still executing their existing business model, which is successful today. They're still making a good amount of money from that. But I think in the future, they will have a big problem because they're not rejuvenating their business model. So think as a startup, you know, a successful startup, you grow into a certain size, you already need to think of what you're going to do besides that. Of course, you have to manage growth. That's already a big job in itself. I mean, that's great if you have those issues. But, you know, there's a point where you need to start thinking, hey, what am I going to build in addition? What's my business model portfolio? And great companies do that. Companies like Apple and Amazon, and can't qualify them as startups now for decades already, but they do that. And I think we're going to see more of this in the startup field as well, that people are going to think business models and portfolio of business models at a very early stage already.
Right. A lot of the viewers are out there saying, well, I'm not Amazon, I'm not Google. But the fact that one of the reasons why they are so big is, like you said, they have this portfolio of innovation, of these business models that help keep propelling them forward. They don't just have one, they stop, they have one, and then another one, and another one, and another one. That's an interesting perspective. And that could be, you could draw a lot of conclusions around even personal growth or personal careers around this whole portfolio of initiatives. We're running a little bit long on time, but you know, I want to get the viewers to actually act on this. So what's the next step? Can they go to your website and download the template?
So the business model canvas is out there for free. Download it, print it out on a piece of paper, print it out on a poster, and get started. If you're interested in going a bit further, you want to check out the iPad app that we have, Business Model Toolbox, in the App Store, because that will allow you to go a step further and throw in some numbers, some assumptions. Hey, how big is the market? I'll throw in this price, this revenue stream, subscriptions or transaction cuts, whatever. And you can already do a sanity test of your business model. Now, if you don't have an iPad, good news, we're working on a web app, which is going to come out in a month or so. You can get it on businessmodelgeneration.com. So there are a lot of tools that we're putting out there because I think this whole field of entrepreneurship is changing in terms of methodology and the software-based tools, web-based tools that would support these methodologies. And that's what we're working on. We want to give entrepreneurs and corporate entrepreneurs those tools that will turn them into real business model innovators and real strategists, not just on paper, but with some support tools. Just like, you know, SAP runs companies, we're going to need something that's going to help us run strategy. And that's what we're working on.
Gotcha. That's exciting stuff. So get the template from the website, check out the book or check out the supporting documentations online to help you walk you through that. And just get started. Like you're saying, it's just do it now, whether you're working on an idea, whether you already have a startup or even, like you're saying, an established business. This is something that all facets and all stages of businesses need to start implementing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this has been great, and I really appreciate your time. I want all the viewers out there to pause the video, and if they know someone that's working on a startup, to copy this link, paste it into an email, and send it. We're going to pause right now so you can do that. All right, and you're back. Thanks for doing that. That was awesome. Your friend's going to love you. We love you. It was great. So, Alexander, I really appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right, everybody, thanks for watching.